This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Our hearts will break beyond repair, perhaps.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green as the death toll climbs to 96 in the wildfire that torched the historic town of Lahaina on Maui. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Fire Chief Bradford Ventura said his team never gave up fighting the fire, even under blowtorch conditions.
The firefighters saved hundreds of homes that day and thousands of lives that could have been affected.
The state attorney general is now investigating the county's emergency response.
We're the only things we have now.
For those still looking for the missing, hope fades and frustration mounts with each passing day of silence.
Javier Barberi has gone back to Lahaina to check on his business. It had burned to the ground.
I was only able to find our restaurant based off of the banyan tree. I had to use the banyan tree as a reference because every single thing was completely decimated as far as the eye could see.
Also decimated, musician Mick Fleetwood's restaurant in Lahaina. He's flown a plane load of emergency supplies to the island to help employees who lost their livelihoods. He tells CBS.
Many of them have lost their homes. I think had I been here, I still would have felt helpless, but not as helpless.
Four missing divers have been found alive off the Carolinas. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The four people were diving off of a boat about 65 miles east of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and failed to resurface Sunday afternoon. U.S. Coast Guard crews from North Carolina and Florida centered their search about 50 miles south of the mouth of the Cape Fear River near Wilmington, North Carolina. U.S. Navy personnel also helped in the search.
Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis could begin presenting evidence to a grand jury today in an election interference case that could lead to a new indictment for former President Trump. Former U.S. Attorney Michael Moore tells CBS News he believes several people will be indicted.
The four people.
It really allows her to talk about, as a prosecutor, everybody's dirty laundry and everybody's dirty conduct and not just the dirty laundry maybe that the former president may have in his hamper.
School is canceled today in Louisville, Kentucky, and tomorrow as they sort out issues with buses after some drivers got lost and didn't get kids home until 10 p.m. on the first day of school last Wednesday. Parents were beside themselves.
My daughter started high school. Her bus never came. We had the wrong information on Bus Finder. It was actually 2 hours wrong.
They used to have a bus stop at that daycare, and now they've eliminated that bus stop.
Students were given snow days last Thursday and Friday. Dow Futures are down 5. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A Cornell man is charged for theft by a contractor after taking money up front to paint homes and then never doing the work. Tyrell Sikora, the owner of Sikora Prime Painting and S&S Painting in Washing, was charged in Eau Claire County Friday after three homeowners said he didn't do the work he was paid for. Sikora is facing charges in five other cases in two different counties for theft by a contractor, according to online court records. He's due back in court next month. A man is dead after a rollover crash in Dunn County Saturday morning. The crash happened on Highway 85 near Kerryville at 3:25 a.m. The sheriff's office said the man's cell phone made an automated 911 call after the crash happened. The man, who was thrown from the vehicle when it crashed, was found dead at the scene. A man is dead after apparently drowning in Lake Wazee in Jackson County Friday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the man's body was being pulled from the water by people at the lake as first responders arrived. The man was pronounced dead at the scene. No other information was made available. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
And smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Now you won't see no sad and teary eye when I get my wings and it's my time to fly.
Call my friends and tell them there's a party, come on by. Now just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. 7 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And by the way, if you have some input, if you have an opinion on anything that we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Phone number is 715-388-7155. We've been discussing legalizing marijuana, discussing the devastation on Maui, And then also the wastewater issue. Wisconsin, a leader in checking wastewater for diseases. Yeah, you can call us about any of those topics. And I'll even entertain other topics if you want to discuss something else. Right now, 59 degrees up in Hayward, 65 degrees in La Crosse. And you probably know by now that it looks like the case in Georgia against former President Donald Trump is going to be moving forward this week. It does look like Fani Willis is presenting her case to the grand jury this week, according to most reports. And I want to go over a little bit of what's going on here. There's a story in the New York Times that kind of explains things, you know, exactly what happened in Georgia. Well, the headline on the story from the New York Times says, 2 months in Georgia, how Trump tried to overturn the vote. The Georgia case offers a vivid reminder of the extraordinary lengths Trump and his allies went to in the southern state to reverse the election. This piece is by Danny Hakim and Richard Fawcett. It was posted this morning. It says, when President Trump, Donald Trump's eldest son, took the stage outside the Georgia Republican Party headquarters 2 days after the 2020 election, he likened what lay ahead to mortal combat. He said, Americans need to know this is not a banana republic, Donald Trump Jr. shouted, claiming that Georgia and other swing states had been overrun by wild electoral shenanigans. He described tens of thousands of ballots that had magically shown up around the country, all marked for Joe Biden, and others dumped by Democratic officials into one big box so their authenticity could not be verified. Trump told his father's supporters at the news conference, who broke into chants of stop the steal and fraud, fraud, that the number one thing that Donald Trump can do in this election is fight each and every one of these battles to the death, end quote. Over the 2 months that followed, a vast effort unfolded on behalf of the lame duck president to overturn the election results in swing states across the country. But perhaps nowhere were there as many attempts to intervene as in Georgia, where Fannie Willis, the district attorney of Fulton County, is now poised to bring an indictment for a series of brazen moves made on behalf of Trump in the state after his loss and for lies that the president and his allies circulated about the election there. Trump has already been indicted 3 times this year, most recently in a federal case brought by the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, that is also related to election interference. But the Georgia case may prove the most expansive legal challenge to Trump's attempts to cling to power, with nearly 20 people informed that they could face charges. It could also prove the most enduring. While Trump could try to pardon himself from a federal conviction if he were reelected, presidents cannot pardon state crimes. Perhaps above all, the Georgia case assembled by Ms. Willis offers a vivid reminder of the extraordinary lengths taken by Trump and his allies to exert pressure on local officials to overturn the election, an up-close portrait of American democracy tested to its limits. There was the infamous call that the former president made to Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's Republican Secretary of State, during which Trump said he wanted to find nearly 12,000 votes, or enough to overturn his narrow loss there. Trump and his allies harassed and defamed rank-and-file election workers with false accusations of ballot stuffing, leading to so many vicious threats against one of them that she was forced into hiding. They deployed fake local electors to certify that Trump had won the election. Within even the Justice Department, an obscure government lawyer secretly plotted with the president to help him overturn the state's results. And on the same day that Biden's victory was certified by Congress, Trump allies infiltrated a rural Georgia county's election office, copying sensitive software used in voting machines throughout the state in their fruitless hunt for ballot fraud. The Georgia investigation has encompassed an array of high-profile allies, from the lawyers Rudy Giuliani, Kenneth Cheesebrough, and John Eastman, to Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff at the time of the election. But it has also scrutinized lesser-known players like a Georgia bail bondsman and a publicist who once worked for Kanye West. As soon as Monday, today, there could be charges from a Fulton County grand jury after Ms. Willis presents her case to them. The number of people indicted could be large. A separate special grand jury that investigated the matter in an advisory capacity last year recommended more than a dozen people for indictment. And the forewoman of the grand jury has strongly hinted that the former president was among them. If an indictment lands and the case goes to trial, a regular jury and the American public will hear a story that centers on 9 critical weeks from Election Day through early January, in which a host of people all tried to push one lie, that Mr. Trump had secured victory in Georgia. The question before the jurors would be whether some of those accused went so far that they broke the law. It did not take long for the gloves to come off. During the November 5th visit by Donald Trump Jr., the Georgia Republican Party was already fracturing. Some officials believed they should focus on defending the seats of the state's 2 Republican senators, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, who were weeks away from runoff elections, rather than fighting a losing presidential candidate's battles. But according to testimony before the January 6th committee by one of the Trump campaign's local staffers, Trump's son was threatening to tank those Senate races if there was not total support for his father's effort. And in parentheses, it says, A spokesman for Donald Trump Jr. disputed that characterization, noting that the former president's son later appeared in ads for the Senate candidates. Story from the New York Times goes on and says, 4 days later, the two senators called for Mr. Raffensperger's resignation. The Raffensperger family was soon barraged with threats, leading his wife, Tricia, to confront Loeffler, the Senate candidate, in a text message, quote, "Never did I think you were the kind of person to unleash such hate and fury," end quote. One Republican speaking to another. Four other battleground states had also flipped to Biden, but losing Georgia, the only Deep South state among them, seemed particularly untenable for Trump. His margin of defeat there was one of the smallest in the nation. Republicans controlled the state, and as he would note repeatedly in the aftermath, his campaign rallies in Georgia had drawn big, boisterous crowds. By the end of November, Trump's Twitter feed had become a font of misinformation. Quote, "Everybody knows it was rigged," he wrote in a tweet on November 29th. Then on December 1st, he wrote, "Do something, Brian Kemp," he wrote, referring to Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, a Republican. He went on and said, "You allowed your state to be scammed." But these efforts were not gaining traction. Raffensperger and Kemp were not bending. And on December 1st, Trump's Attorney General, William Barr, announced that the Department of Justice had found no evidence of voting fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election. It was time to turn up the volume. Giuliani was on the road traveling to Phoenix and Lansing, Michigan, to meet with lawmakers to convince them of fraud in their states, both lost by Trump. Now he was in Atlanta. Even though Trump's loss in Georgia had been upheld by a state audit, Giuliani made fantastical claims at a hearing in front of the state Senate, the first of three legislative hearings in December of 2020. He repeatedly asserted that machines made by Dominion voting systems had flipped votes from Trump to Biden and changed the election outcome. False claims that became part of Dominion defamation suits against Fox News, Giuliani, and a number of others. Giuliani, then Trump's personal lawyer, also played a video that he said showed election workers pulling suitcases of suspicious ballots from under a table to be secretly counted after Republican poll watchers had left for the night. He accused two workers, a black mother and daughter named Ruby Freeman and Wandria Moss, of passing a suspicious USB drive between them like vials of heroin or cocaine. Investigators later determined that they were passing a mint. Giuliani recently admitted in a civil suit that he had made false statements about the two women. So we should find out more either later today or later this week about what the case is all about in Georgia. And it looks like our former president may be indicted again. 918, stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Clouds and lingering rain this morning, then gradual clearing by mid to late afternoon. It's going to be a little cool today, too, with a high of only 67. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, it'll be clear. We'll drop down to a low of 49. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, quite a bit warmer, with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
All kinds of interesting people that live right around your neighborhood, like, oh, the postman and the policeman.
Hey, did you order these groceries here?
Oh, hi there. Yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
Yeah, these are your groceries.
Have you got everything I ordered?
No.
How about the parsley?
No, we didn't have the parsley.
Oh, you didn't have the parsley.
No, we brought some other stuff instead, though.
What'd you bring instead?
Well, let's see, I brought some Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
Yes, and
all
I got
right.
some turnip greens.
Turnip greens,
I got
yes.
some kale.
Kale?
Yes, we were having a big sale on kale.
Oh, a big kale sale.
You've heard about it.
I've heard about it.
Yes, indeed. Well, I brought you a lot of that.
Hey, listen, I was just talking about some of the people that lived around our neighborhood. And,
you were?
Yeah.
What'd
you say? Long as you look sort of like, well, you know, a grocer, one of those people around the neighborhood, why don't we do that song about the people in your neighborhood?
Well, I'd rather not, actually.
Oh, come on. It's a nice song.
Well, okay, but you start off.
All right, I'll start off. Well, now... Who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day. As long as you look like the grocer, why don't you tell us what a grocer does?
Okay.
All right?
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning.
Like cereal
What's music from Sesame Street, 22 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. We got 59 degrees in Amory right now, also 59 in Eau Claire. And let me ask my producer, Aaron, when you go to a new city and you're checking it out, you want to find out more about that city, is there some place in particular that you go? I mean, I know a lot of people kind of hang out in... people have their own certain hangouts. Some people may have a coffee shop that they go to every day or regularly, or they may hang out at a certain tavern or bar. Other people like to hang out at the library. Do you have a hangout? And is there some place you go when you get to a new town?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things that I always check out. I always go and see if they have any game stores, like board games and used bookstores, but like small ones and antique shops like that.
Yeah, you said board game stores.
Yep. Those have a cool culture around them. It's always interesting seeing how different they are in different cities.
Yeah, I've been to a few of those. Actually, you know, you and I are similar in some ways, I tell you. Some of the board game stores I've been to recently have, in addition to thousands of games to purchase, they have, of course, games you can play, hang out in the store and play. And some of them even have coffee shops and bars in them nowadays. Have you seen anything like that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool when they do that. I don't know if there are any in Madison that have an attached like bar or anything, but I think I've been to a couple of those.
And then what was the other place you mentioned besides board game stores?
Antique shops or old bookstores.
Sure.
Just looking at all the old stuff, find something cool, maybe find at antique stores. They usually have some like crates of records and stuff. And you might find just a different selection than what you find at a record store, but those are cool as well to check out.
I'm glad you brought up records, because when I go to a new city and I want to try to figure out what's going on in that city and where's the cool places to hang out, cool places to go, The first place I always check out is a record store. I like to go in there and see what kind of music they're selling. But also when you go into a record store, it's you get to meet people, not only the people that work there, but you might talk to other customers and stuff. And personally, I kind of grew up in record stores, man, since I was a little kid, like 5 years old. That's where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the record store and check out the records. And I remember when I was a little kid, when I'd go shopping with my mom. Back in those days, there used to be record stores in just about every single store, whether it was a department store, a discount store, everybody sold records. So, of course, my mom would just drop me off in the record department, go do her shopping, and then come back later and pick me up. And then I would always, as a little kid, I'd want to talk to the older guys, teenagers, you know, and ask them what they thought was cool. And they'd always get a kick out of this little 7 or 8 year old kid telling them about what's happening in music. So now, as the decades have gone by, I still like to hang out in record stores. And today on the Stu Daniels Show, we're starting a new feature, which I hope will be a regular feature. And what I'd like to do is check out the people in our neighborhood and get to know people in our neighborhood a little bit better. It's like, who are the people in our neighborhood that we might see each day or occasionally, once in a while? People that own businesses are a good place to start. So today on the show, we're going to talk to a business owner from La Crosse, a guy who owns a record store. There's a record store in La Crosse called Audio Lust. And today on the show, we have the owner of Audio Lust. His name is Jeff. Jeff, can you hear me?
I can, Stu.
All right. And Aaron, if you can turn him up just a little bit more, I would like to talk with Jeff about several different topics today. First of all, how are you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. I hope you had a good weekend. And the first thing I would like to discuss with you today, we're going to talk about your record store. And why don't you tell our listeners how you came up with the name of Audio Lust? Where did that come from?
Well, just doing a little bit of brainstorming, trying to figure out what would best fit people that would, or how you would best define, you know, audiophiles, you know. So through asking friends and family and stuff, I just kind of, Audio Lust popped into our mind, and everybody's like, yeah, that's a great name. So we took the name, and then we designed our logo, and went from there.
Well, that's cool. I've never heard that term before, Audio Lust. Did you just come up with that as a way to describe people that were in love with records and music and sound?
Yes, exactly. Yep. That's, you know, kind of figured, you know, well, people, you know, were lusting after certain records or stuff like that. And, you know, the audio part, you know, that's what we deal in. We deal with audio recordings, you know, mainly the analog aspect of it. So we do have digital media as well, but yeah, we focus mostly on records.
All right. That sounds like a great start. Jeff, I'm going to ask you if you can stick around. We have a bottom of the hour break coming up. I'd like to ask you a lot more stuff about your store, about the neighborhood that your store is in, and we'll come back right after the break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
That you meet when you're walking down the street, they're the people that you meet each day.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Crews are going from rubble pile to rubble pile on Maui looking for human remains after last week's horrific wildfire that's killed at least 96 people. Governor Josh Green tells CBS,
there will not be any survivors in the area left. They've either escaped that night And now as we put up some temporary cell capacity, people are calling each other. So the number of missing went from in the 2000s down to 1,300.
Georgia prosecutors are wrapping up their investigation into former President Trump and others accused of trying to challenge election results. CBS's Nicole Killian.
This morning, there's an increased security presence outside the Fulton County Courthouse ahead of a potential charging decision this week.
There are no classes for kids in Louisville, Kentucky schools today or tomorrow after massive problems with buses on the first day of school. Parent Ashley Robinson.
I do want all kids to be safe, and I hope that we can rectify the situation so that kids can have consistency.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Workers at the Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls begin their second month of a strike as they seek better wages. About four dozen employees began the strike last month, saying their pay hasn't kept up with the cost of living. The workers' union and Molson Coors met earlier this month, with the beer company refusing to budge on its offer, saying it was above market rates for similar roles. Molson Coors doesn't expect any production delays or impact to its sales. A Cornell man is charged for theft by a contractor after taking money up front to paint homes and then never doing the work. Tyrell Sikora, the owner of Sikora Prime Painting and S&S Painting in Washing, was charged in Eau Claire County Friday after three homeowners said he didn't do the work he was paid for. Sikora is facing charges in five other cases in two different counties for theft by a contractor, according to online court records. He's due back in court next month. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be a washout with moderate to heavy rains expected for much of today in western Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on, along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
I will get by. 9:33 on this Monday morning. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. We got 63 degrees in Richland Center right now. It's 64 degrees in La Crosse. And right now on the Stu Daniels Show, we are starting a new feature that we're hoping to do occasionally, where we get to meet some of the people in our neighborhood. Remember the old Sesame Street song? Who are the people in your neighborhood? Well, today we're talking with a business owner from La Crosse. The business is Audio Lust Records. And the business owner is Jeff, who owns Audio Lust. Just before the break, we were just getting started in a little conversation about the record store and La Crosse. And I was asking Jeff how he came up with the name for the store. It just turns out that some of us who enjoy music and sounds have a lust for that stuff. So it's Audio Lust. And Jeff, the next question I want to ask you is, what made you decide to open a record store in these changing times of the popularity of records going down and then back up? What made you want to open a record store, and how long has the store been open? When did you open it?
We opened in 2019. So it's kind of a funny story how we got started. Granted, I've always, as a little kid, I've always wanted to own a record store. I thought, you know, growing up, I grew up with vinyl music. We didn't have the cell phone, stuff like that. One day, my wife and I were looking around Facebook, and I was actually looking for records for myself. And I found a huge record collection on Facebook. And there was a short video that had a couple teaser records that were in this collection. There was approximately 3,000 records in this collection. So in the teaser, of course, you know, there was some of the old 80s rock and roll records in this teaser. And she said that she would not separate the collection. It was only, you know, you had to buy all or none. So when my wife and I went to look at this collection, we were out in the middle of this in a very nice trailer park. It was a couple hours north of us, and she took us to a storage shed, and it was stacked floor to ceiling with boxes of records. I started looking through the records, and with the exception of them four or five records that she had on her little video, I'd recognize none of anything else. Excuse me. So, long story short, I had told this lady that she needed to do a little bit of research because I was sure that she had more than the value she was asking for these records. And I told her that me being unfamiliar with the genres and stuff that she had, that I wouldn't be interested in. If I was, the offer that I would make her would just upset her and it wouldn't be fair. And she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So finally, I made her a ridiculously low offer because, one, my wife and I didn't want to load up all these records. And two, I really thought that she had some potential there to where she could make a lot more money on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So when I made her the offer, it was more, you know, because I didn't want to buy the records. And she accepted the offer. And my wife and I just kind of looked at each other, and we were like, darn it. Now we have to load these in the truck. So when we got them home, we started doing some research. Like I said, there was some really nice stuff in there. There was things in there that I didn't realize that I knew who they were. Mm. And so we started doing a little bit online, and my brother and I had talked. He always wanted to open a retail store. So initially I was partners with my brother, and we started it with this record collection. And from there, it just expanded. We got more and more, you know, people would bring records in to, for us to buy. And that's what we rely on now. We just rely on our community, you know, to bring in records that they no longer, you know, are interested in having, and mm-hmm. we find them a new home. You know, there's, so it's kind of a trade throughout the industry, you know, as people get older, you know, they kind of don't have time for the vinyl anymore, but the younger kids, you know, they're discovering the vinyl. So that's kind of how we started. It was kind of by accident, really. It wasn't nothing we really planned.
Wow. That's a great story. So you guys loaded up the truck and headed back to La Crosse. Now, at that time, you didn't have a storefront, right?
No, we did not.
But then once you bought the collection, you decided with your brother it's time to put together a store. Is that how it went?
That's correct. Initially, we were supposed to be like a retail store, like a thrift store. My brother wanted to deal in tools and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to do the audio music and the vinyl, old stereo equipment. Then he fell ill, and he wasn't able to pursue his end of it. So my wife and I kind of took things over, and then it's now exclusively a record store.
Wow, that's an interesting story. Now, you just opened in 2019, a few years ago, and when you opened the store, well, tell me this, how did you find the location? And when you did find the location, is that the same location that you're in right now?
No, we, again, we saw on Facebook that there was a retail space open. It was a small spot, still the same neighborhood that we're in. And then the spot that we're in, my landlord owns both places. Well, the space that I'm in now, the rent was a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And being, you know, just starting out from the ground floor, wasn't sure whether or not we could afford, you know, the bigger space.
Mm-hmm.
So we had moved into a small storefront a couple blocks from where we're at, and we just ran out of room right away.
Wow.
Well, then the space that we're in now had already been rented, and I had told my landlord, if that ever comes open, you know, we would be interested in moving over there. So a year later, we moved into this location. So in 2020, we moved into the location that we're at now.
Okay. And tell our listeners where your store is located, the address and any nearby landmarks.
Yeah, we're at 127 6th Street South in La Crosse. We're right across the street from the Viterbo College, or excuse me, from the Cathedral Church. Next door to us, we have a kickboxing studio. On the one side, we have a gym to the other side of us, as well as a holistic mind, body, and soul, I guess you would say, like a holistic healing place.
Like a wellness center.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yep, a wellness center. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a
great community.
Say that again?
I said it's a great community that we're in. We're about two blocks from actually downtown La Crosse. So we're a little bit off the beaten path, but it's really easy to find.
Yeah, so in addition to the records at your store now, you said that you also sell used stereo equipment and stuff like that?
That's correct. I have some vintage, right now we just have some vintage 8-track players, some old receivers. We don't carry the high-end vintage stuff, you know, like the old Macintosh and things like that. It's a little bit out of our scope for how much it costs and stuff like that, but we deal with the older, more affordable, you know, to get you back basically into the entry level if you're interested in listening to vinyl. It's that price that everybody can afford.
Well, that sounds cool, man. Do you have young people coming in and checking things out? Young people who are saying, well, I want to get into records and I want to get some old stereo equipment. Do you see young people coming through the doors?
Yes. One of my good customers, she started coming to my store when she was 14 years old. And she comes in once a week and continues to buy records. She comes in with her father sometimes. Sometimes she'll come in by herself. But it's neat that, you know, she's into the same type of music that we were when, you know, we were her age, you know. So she's listening to all the 80s and 70s stuff, and she knows her stuff, you know. She'll be like, Dad, look at this. You know, here's a REO Speedway, you know, here's a Leonard Skinner, or, oh, my dad has this, or, you know. So it's just amazing the stuff that she'll buy. It's from jazz to rock, and I like to see that in the younger people, because they don't, you know, don't get tunnel vision on just one type of music. You know, they expand and listen to it all.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Does she ever bring in any people her age, like her friends, or does she talk about her friends and what they listen to at all, I wonder?
Her boyfriend is into 8-track tapes, so he comes in, and that's his thing. He loves 8-tracks. So,
wow. Do you get many 8-track tapes? I mean, do you have 8-track tapes for sale at your store?
I don't anymore. So I try to keep my business unique to, like, my business. So we have another guy in town that he deals a lot in 8-tracks.
Okay.
So usually if I get stuff like that in, I send that up to him, you know, because that's his area of focus. So, you know, the way I feel that our town is, you know, we kind of try to keep ourselves unique instead of competing. You know, we try to work with each other, you know. So, no, me knowing that, you know, that's his specialty, you know, I try to, you know, let him deal with that part of it.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a great relationship that you have with the other business owners. So that's a really cool thing. And let me ask you, are you from La Crosse originally? Is that where you grew up?
I am originally from La Crosse. I went to high school here, or graduated from high school here. And then I had went into the military and was gone for 25 years, and I had recently moved back in 2010.
Wow. Well, that's interesting, man. That's cool that you came back to your hometown after being gone for so long, and now you're an upstanding member of the business world there in La Crosse. And tell our listeners, we're almost out of time, tell our listeners again exactly where your store is, the address and stuff, and the hours, too.
Yeah, we're at 127 6th Street South. Our hours do vary from week to week because I do work another job. But our current hours for the week are always posted either on our Google page or on our Facebook page.
That's great, man. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today and for being our first guest on this new feature, The People in Your Neighborhood. Jeff, thank you again. Audio Lust Records in La Crosse. Have a great day, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Okay, take care. Stick around, everybody. We'll be back in a minute after a short break.
Can't find the light to guide you through a cloudy day. When the stars ain't shining bright, it feels like you lost your way. When the candlelight's
home. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time, apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get them to Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude,
Did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Clouds and lingering rain this morning, then gradual clearing by mid to late afternoon. It's going to be a little cool today, too, with a high of only 67. The wind out of the northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, it'll be clear. We'll drop down to a low of 49. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, quite a bit warmer, with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. To entangle the entire area.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long. I could have said it was in my way.
Yes, I feel like letting my freak flag fly. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:51 right now. David Crosby almost cut my hair. Like looking in the mirror and seeing a police car. Man, David Crosby, born on this date, August 14th, 1941. We lost him earlier this year in January. A lot of great music from that guy. I got to see him many, many times over the years. First time with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young in 1974. And in many configurations after that, I saw him with Graham Nash doing the Crosby, Nash thing. And I saw him with Stephen Stills and Graham Nash doing the Crosby, Stills, Nash thing. Saw him do a solo show. In fact, here's a crazy story. You know, he got busted in the 1980s and had to go away to jail for a little while. And when he got sentenced, he asked the judge if he could go out on a small solo tour and raise some money. So he had some money to work with while he was in jail. And the judge said, okay. So he went out and did a small tour. And that was right before he went away to jail. And at that time, I was working in Fort Wayne, Indiana at a rock and roll station there. And he came to Fort Wayne and played at a bar. It was a pretty big bar, but it was still just a bar. And I couldn't believe that David Crosby was playing there. So the radio station I was working at was the welcoming radio station. And my boss asked me if I would go down there and introduce him. And I said, heck yeah, I would go introduce David Crosby. So I got to talk to him for just a couple minutes. He wasn't in a real good mood, which you would expect somebody on their way to jail. But he did put on a great show and told a few stories. And man, when you read about David Crosby, a lot of people say he wasn't an easy guy to get along with all of the time. His fights with Neil Young are legendary. But still, even Neil Young and others say he was a great artist. Yeah, David Crosby. Anyway, getting back to the show, we're almost out of time here. We got a few more minutes left. Final segment of the show. I got some updated temperatures here for you. Eau Claire, 59 degrees, and Richland Center has 63 degrees. Everybody looking for some rain on and off today with steady temperatures only in the 60s in most areas. Up in Hayward, though, they're supposed to see some sunshine this afternoon way up north. Hey, one more story I wanted to get to before we ran out of time was the idea of governance by threat. Seems like more and more right now we are getting threats from not just lawmakers, but former presidents
right? You come after me, I'll come after you. That's what Trump said last week in that, I guess it wasn't a tweet since it was on his Truth Social. I don't know what you call messages on Truth Social, but I think that's where he posted it. But now it's coming, this idea of threats is a lot closer to home. In fact, it looks like the top Republican in our state legislature is dishing out some threats. Robin Voss saying that lawmakers may consider impeachment if Janet Protasiewicz does not recuse herself from the redistricting cases that are working their way through the system right now. The story is from Friday at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says, if Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz does not recuse from lawsuits challenging the state's legislative boundaries, Republicans who control a state legislature might consider impeachment proceedings. The assembly's top Republican said on Friday, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, said in an interview on WSAU, he does not believe impeachment should be considered lightly by lawmakers, but he said the idea could move forward if Protasiewicz does not recuse herself on cases he said she prejudged during her campaign for a seat on the state's highest court. Quote, if there's any semblance of honor on the state Supreme Court left, you cannot have a person who runs for the court prejudging a case and being open about it and then acting on the case as if you're an impartial observer, Voss told conservative WSAU host Megan Ellefson when asked whether the legislature could successfully defend the current boundaries with a liberal-controlled state Supreme Court. Quote, you cannot have a judge who said, you know, the maps are rigged because she bought into the argument that that's why we're winning elections, not the quality of our candidates. And then she sits on that trial acting like she's going to listen and hear both sides fairly. That just can't happen, Voss said. Protasiewicz did not immediately respond to an interview request. In January, Protasiewicz called the state's legislative maps rigged in a public forum. And in March, she told the Capital Times reporters in a podcast interview she would enjoy taking a fresh look at the gerrymandering question. They do not reflect people in this state. I don't think you could sell any reasonable person that the maps are fair, Protasiewicz, a former Milwaukee County judge, said in the January forum. I can't tell you what I would do on a particular case, but I can tell you my values and the maps are wrong, end quote. Voss suggested if Protasiewicz does not recuse from cases involving the maps, she would violate her oath of office, which might push lawmakers to consider impeaching her. Quote, I want to look and see, does she recuse herself on cases where she has prejudged? That, to me, is something that is at the oath of office and what she said she was going to do to uphold the Constitution. That, to me, is a serious offense, Voss said. He also said court decisions wouldn't trigger impeachment discussions. Quote, if it can't be because they make the decision on a court case that I disagree with, right? It has to be where they violate the oath of office, right? Justice Protasiewicz, who prejudged cases, doesn't recuse herself, right? That could be something we would consider. So what do you learn from that quote? The fact that Robin Voss often says, right, after he makes a statement. Anyway, we've run out of time for the day. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you have a great day. And thank you for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, on the Stu Daniels Show.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.